complete, not lacking anything, mature. That's God's purpose. I would think it was Charles Spurgeon, one of my commentaries I was reading, that said, you know, there's a difference between growing old in the church and growing mature in the church. And I thought, well, there's a guy who's been around. Because I meet lots of people, they've been around a long time, but they're still babies. They've never grown. They don't even see that they're not like Jesus. They just get older and older and set in their ways. It is absolutely thrilling to me to see somebody that's been a Christian for a long time that knows the real Jesus. My father was that way. My grandmother was that way. My grandmother died at 98. I was pretty sure Gwen was going to catch up with her there for a while, but she didn't. But the thing that characterized my grandmother, she was exactly the opposite of some sort of sourpuss church lady that you could imagine. Every single day of her life started with Jesus. It was spent with Jesus. It ended with Jesus. He was her best friend. And she loved people the way that he loved people, which is what happens when you're coming to know him properly. There's not a lot of that going around. And sad to say that churches sometimes are filled with people who've been there a long time, and the fact that they haven't grown and haven't matured to being like Jesus, that rubs off on people as well. It's like petrification. So what's the goal of becoming mature? What's the measuring stick? Any of you have more than one kid? In my house, they used to mark on the door sills and would say Bobby. And at different ages, on our birthday every year, they would mark in a certain color of ink if it was on the garage door sill, how tall Bobby was. And then you measure your growth. You know, that measure of, I know you know what I'm talking about, because I've been to some of your houses. What's our measure? What does God want to grow us into? I love this. It's astonishing. Till we attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Here's the thing. If I don't want that, it won't happen. If I don't want it, though, God will bug me, because he wants me to grow up, because that's where the best life is. We can settle for whatever we want. I could settle for being a spoiled brat, you know, infant, playing with my toys if I want to. It won't make my Heavenly Father happy. The way I was designed is to be like the perfect human, to be like Jesus. I have him living in me. I have the Holy Spirit working. Let me read what the Amplified Bible says about this phrase, attaining to the full measure of the fullness of Christ, so that we might arrive at really mature manhood, the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection. The measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ and the completeness found in him. That's what he's up to. It's supposed to be what we're up to. It cannot happen without our cooperation. It can't. I have to admit that the most significant growth in my life is things that would have never happened had God waited for me to sign up. He often has signed me up. He's given a word, like a brother shared this morning or something, that just went straight to my core. And I thought, yes, that's what I need. But I thought, I can't do this. I can't reinvent myself. I'm powerless. And the Lord says, ooh, I can. I'm your designer. He said, you have no idea what you're capable of, what you can grow into. Give me a shot at it. Let me have control. I know exactly how to grow you up, and it's not going to be as scary as you think. You're going to love being mature. Strap yourself in. If at any time there should be a loss of cabin pressure, oxygen masks will descend from the ceiling in front of you. It's a ride, isn't it? Then, verse 14, then when we're growing up, when we're in that process of becoming mature, we'll no longer be infants spiritually. By the way, interesting wording, no longer be infants. We all start out that way. There's another little hidden obstacle a lot of times in people's growth, that when people become Christians, when they're already adults, they're not used to being bad at things. You know what I mean? They've got their habits are already formed. They've got a little rhythm, a style. And all of a sudden, you come and you're a spiritual infant. And in terms of spiritual things, you have to grow. And some people don't like that. They were comfortable with the old man. But the old man can't be remodeled. The old man has to die. We've been given a new life. God is able to grow us up. And when that's happening, we're not going to stay infants. We just won't. If you see people that are staying infants spiritually, it's because they're not growing. They're meant to grow. God is able to grow. I love that lyric in He is Able that we sang, the last one that says, He's able to make me what He wants me to be. Your mother-in-law may not think so. Your spouse may not think so. Your college chums may not think so. God knows so. He's able to do it. And verse 14 kind of gives us the description of what a spiritual infant looks like. Man, I've spent a good deal of my life around people like this. I was one of them myself. Tossed back and forth by the waves. Instability. Blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. No real directional growth. And there's so much deception out there. Growing up in a Pentecostal church until I came to one that really taught the Bible and believed in the filling of the Holy Spirit, and I got both ingredients. I was around a bunch of people that just made their way from whatever fad came through the church to from fad to fad to fad. What's the latest thing? What's the latest program? And that was the degree of stability that they had, was throw their weight onto another teacher or another thing, and that's not the kind of stability that God has in mind for us. Instead of that, verse 15 says, instead, and here's a great description of what it looks like to be maturing. Interestingly, the first thing is speaking the truth in love. We will in all things grow up into Him. I'm not sure if I'll get all the way through. I got about 10 more minutes, don't I? Okay. Speaking the truth in love, I said earlier, a lot of smiles because you know this is true, that usually you get either or. There are people who, in the name of love, don't tell you the truth. I got to tell you this. Anything that calls itself love that doesn't tell you the truth is incomplete love. And sometimes it's destructive. A lot of times, young people destroy their lives because their parents are too afraid of alienating them and they don't tell them the truth about their behavior. The road you're headed down, my child that I love, is going to bring you nothing but heartache. Well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Yeah, if you could save their life, it would be worth hurting their feelings. So sometimes love needs to say things that don't particularly want to be heard. Here's my feeling. I've been grown up around pushy, obnoxious people who had Bibles. So my little theory is if you puke before you go talk to somebody, if it just turns your stomach to have to say something hard to somebody, you're probably the right person. The people who want to get a posse and say, oh, it's about time somebody told you the truth, buddy, and I'm thinking, yo, you're probably not the right person. It's probably a good chance it's your flesh. brother made me cry this morning because I thought when you have to say something that is that direct and it makes you weep, that I thought there's the right heart. That's the heart that Jesus has. So we got to speak the truth to each other. But it needs to be in love. I know people, you probably do. I've been one. I would give anything if I could take back things I said to people in the back in my 20s when I knew everything. My high-powered doctrine gun, I just go in and just blast people. Yeah, I did tell them the truth. I didn't tell them the whole truth. I didn't tell them that Jesus felt differently about them than I did. I just told them that cold, hard truth, buddy, and you know what? That just has caused a lot of damage. It often does. So part of the sign of maturity in a healthy body, interesting, he puts it first on the list here, is that when we can tell each other the truth in love. And every time I see that happening, it rejoices my heart. I want to say something. Alford, in his commentary on the Greek, his Greek word study, said that he calls this phrase, speaking the truth in love, he calls it speaking with loving caution. Isn't that a great phrase? It's exactly the opposite of blah. It's exactly the opposite of high-powered doctrine gun. It's exactly the opposite of setting people straight. Oh, I have my moments. Here's what I love about Jesus. I say this all the time, but this has been the reality of my life as a pastor. Finally, I'm like Popeye. It's all I can stand, and I can't stand no more, And I'm going to go, and if somebody's got to say something, and I'm going to go. And the Lord said, son, could we talk about this? Put your weapon down. Step away from the grenade. And then he'll say something like, you know what? Most of what you're thinking is right on, but I'm not as uptight about it as you are. Once you let me have a chance, I know them. I know what they need to hear. And you need, frankly, to cool your jets right now. And a lot less damage happens when I'm able to do that. One brother, I dearly thank him. He, right when he was moving away, hated to leave our fellowship, but one of the things he said with tears, he says, thank you, Pastor Bob, that you never pulled any punches. You said exactly what God's word said, and you didn't try to kissy face, candy coat it. You just told it, even if you knew it was things that were going to get you in trouble. And I said, did I do it with love? And he said, I believe for the most part you did. And I thought, then I haven't failed, because that's my job. That's my job as your brother. Your job is my sister. Can I just say something? I'm going to throw it in here. I debated whether to. A lot of marriage issues would be better settled if we could see our wife as our sister in Christ, and if we could see our husband as our brother in Christ. Do you know what I mean? If you could see your children as your brothers and sisters in Christ. When we get out of that realm of it's my wife, it's my husband, they're my kids, we treat them sometimes differently than we treat other people who are part of the body of Christ. Free little sermon there on child rearing from someone who doesn't have any children. Speaking the truth in love, we will all grow up into him. We will in all things grow up into him. You know what that means? That means it doesn't even matter what we're lacking. Some of us just didn't start from a level playing field from day one. I've noticed over the years, God has sent us a lot of people who were abused as children. I was. I know people that have been through horrific things. And sometimes when you see behavior that's not, squeaky, clean, straight-A student kind of behavior, you would be really proud of them if you knew their whole story, if you knew what they started out with. And church is supposed to be a safe place for people to grow up. Sad to say, it's not always that way. It's supposed to be. And God may have different expectations from people. He knows what they have to unlearn. He knows. One of the things that he told me right early on was, he said, people who have been wounded are very sensitive to anger. So watch your face. Be sure there are tears in your eyes and not anger, because you can wound people all over again. Doesn't mean you don't speak the truth. No, we already said we're supposed to. In all things, wherever we're lacking, we can grow up into him. What does that mean? That means that's the direction we're growing. That's what God has in mind. I would think that means Jesus has to be the center of everything. He has to be. And from him, the whole body grows and builds itself up. How does the body grow? Here it is. From Jesus, from that growing personal, intimate relationship with him, the entire body from him grows itself up. It's happening. I loved what you said about that. It is happening. We're not the same people we used to be. Thank God. We're not the same people we will be. Okay, I want to say this and we'll close. I think I've got a couple more minutes. I believe, check me out on this if you can find other information. I've heard many other ministers say differently. I believe this is job one of the church. I'll tell you what job one is not. It's not evangelism. It's not social change. Those are things that are supposed to come as fruit of a healthy body. Pastor Chuck used to say, healthy sheep have babies. Pastors don't have to have baby sheep. Pastors aren't to reproduce. They're supposed to feed the sheep. If the sheep are healthy, they'll have babies. There's evangelism. Evangelism primarily wasn't meant to happen here in this place. It's meant to happen out there by the way we live our lives. And yet I know churches, that's their whole emphasis is on evangelism. And the problem is if people aren't growing up to knowing Jesus, then all you have to hand them is a tract or some dogma. But you can't give them Jesus because you don't have anything to give them. You know what I mean? Social change is also not our job. Boy, you can get you in trouble saying that today. Often in the history of church, people living out their lives in the community brought about social change. Often it did not. Often it got them killed. Often it made people mad. Our first job as a church is to grow up into Jesus and to help one another do that. And then we're okay. All right? Good stuff. I think I made it through. Let's pray. Thank you for what you're doing, Lord. It's a thrilling thing to see. And Lord, we offer ourselves to you, willing to be recalibrated, willing to have your agenda and not our own. I pray, Lord, for the challenging words that we've heard today, that they wouldn't just strike our hearts and then fly away this afternoon during football or during the lunch, but they would come back to us, Lord. They would alter our course, that we would seek your face and live our lives for your audience and live our lives in intimacy with you. That's my prayer for myself, for my brothers and sister, and Lord, to this end, for all those that hear these words. In Jesus' name, amen. Stay and eat with us if you can.